All right, I'm going to start the show.
Let's do this.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Comfortable?
No. I'm lying.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Comedy Death Star. Comedy Death Star.
Yay!
I gave you the comfy chair.
Yeah, it's extremely comfortable.
All right.
I'm totally... Can I swear on this thing?
Yes.
I'm totally giving you shit. You know that,
okay.
Right? Okay, I'm just double checking to make sure that you're cool with that. Comedy
Death Star. I know where I am.
Yes.
The podcast that digs into the dark side of comedy. I'm your host, Denzel Myers. I always have to read that part, even though we're now like 50 episodes in.
Yeah, but it's still the dark side.
That's, yeah, and I write it, but anyway.
It's getting darker every episode.
Every episode. My guest this week is actor, writer, director, improviser, Sean Landry.
Hi.
We're going to find out so much more about Sean in a minute, but first, a message from our corporate overlords. Comedy Death Star is a production of
Actors Comedy Studio
and ACSDigital.tv. I'm Denzel Myers. Our guest today is comedian and improviser, Sean Landry. I feel like Sean
what?
Landry.
Yes.
I want to say laundry because the U is in there and my brain
that's,
was stuck
that
on the
I
U.
I have so many. The great thing about my name, Denzel, is the fact that it's a man's name for all purposes. So when I get mail, I get Mr. Sean Landry. Or I'll get something really wonderful where, I'm African-American, so I'll get a lot of things where it has a prefix and a suffix in front of my name. So, LaShawn, Roshan, LaShonda.
Really?
Roshonda.
People just add that on?
They just add it on because, you're black. You must have a prefix
it
or
must
a suffix.
Be LaShawndra.
And, so LaShawndra.
That's ridiculous.
Well, I'm like, why don't you just put a ubla over the U
the
and
ubla,
just really just get it completely wrong.
Now, that's weird to me that people see you and they see your name and they want to add parts to
They want to add parts and things. Shauna, I get a lot.
But LaShawndra.
LaShonda, LaShawndra, Roshonda. It's and always spelled in the weirdest way. And
that's
I'm
funny.
Sitting here going, just I always say with my name when I get Shauna Landry, I go take the A off, take the U and put it into the
Shauna
front.
Landry.
Sean Landry. I always love hearing it, and it doesn't matter how often I do it, or I'll say it's Landry. Think Tom Landry from the Dallas Cowboys. Anybody over the age of 45 gets
should
that reference.
Him. Yeah.
But no.
You don't look like him.
I wish I had that Landry money.
You don't dress like, the hat.
So for younger people, I'll go, think of the seafood place. And if they're not from the South, there's the Landry Seafood.
Oh, that doesn't.
It's delicious.
I'm not from the South.
Well, child, you need.
Where's Landry Seafood?
Landry Seafood is all through the South. It's
Atlanta?
Atlanta. It's in Georgia. All through. So just type in Landry Seafood.
I'm going to make a note when I visit my mom in Atlanta next time.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I want to go to Landry Seafood.
Yes. And I believe they're also in Florida too.
Right, well,
but it's
to
a chain. It's a chain of seafood place. It's like the Bubba. It's a better Bubba Gump.
Bubba Gump. All right.
So.
Well, people think I'm black.
Why?
Because my name is Denzel. And the only other person. One time I called a friend at work.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Palo Alto or something. So maybe that had something to do with it, but maybe not. And the receptionist said, may I tell who's calling? And I said, it's Denzel.
Mm-hmm.
And she picked up the phone within 15 seconds, and she was kind of laughing. And she said, the people here want to know if you play basketball.
Oh, my God.
And I said, wow.
My God.
Do you know what just happened there? And she said, what? I said, they heard my name was Denzel. The only other person they know named Denzel is black. Black people could either be in entertainment or sports.
Exactly.
And
it
the
must be
entertainment
either.
Box is filled, so I must play basketball.
Exactly. And you can't be Denzel Washington.
She was so embarrassed.
She should be. As she should be.
Well, but that's how fast it happens.
It's so ridiculous. One of my favorite moments, when I moved here to Los Angeles from San Francisco, we found a beautiful home.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the heart of it all, right in the middle of Mid-Wilshire, as they call it, Koreatown.
Yeah.
But I would have never gotten the place. Literally, what Hans and I do, because my husband is Caucasian and very German, Hans.
Hans
Deutschland, Deutschland. I'm now putting on my arm like a Nazi. And what I do is I call. My name is Sean Landry, and my voice is relatively...
Neutral.
It's a pretty neutral voice. And so I'm talking to the woman who owns the place. and she's Irish, and I'm a third Irish, and I know when to not see a place.
I understand.
I get on the phone with her, and I go, hi, I'm Sean Landry, and we saw your listing on Zillow, and we're really excited, and we'd love to come and see it. I work at Second City. I do a lot of teaching and acting there. And she goes, so what's your name? I said, my name is Sean. And he goes, oh, you're Irish. That's when I knew.
And you say yes.
I said to her, literally, only the good parts.
And then you send
and then I'm Hans like, I'm really place. Super busy. Let me send my really translucent husband, Hans. I mean, Hans has no complexion.
No, he glows in the dark.
He glows.
No, I know
he glows.
Things.
You've met him. He is translucent. Yeah. And then Hans goes, he takes pictures. Yeah. And then we get it. Then I surprise the living shit out of the landlord.
But by then it's too late.
It's way too late.
It's way too late.
And then they realize I'm an awesome person and we keep the place wonderful. It's dark.
It's not dark. The lights are on here. It is about darkness. You had some thoughts. I want to see what you thought about the Jordan Peele movie.
I personally lost my fucking shit. I thought it was so good. For African Americans in horror,
yeah.
There's the old joke. My Uncle Brad Sanders was in the movie Hollywood Shuffle. He played Batty. You remember Batty?
Hollywood Shuffle. Yeah, go ahead.
He was Batty
in
Hollywood Shuffle. My Uncle Brad Sanders says the best line ever in that movie. Do you die in the film? And Robert Townsend goes, no, then it's a good film.
Yeah, the horror movies, the black people get killed first.
Always the black person gets killed first, except for one movie.
Even a lot of dramas, yeah.
Yeah, even a lot of dramas, but even in a lot of everything.
Yeah.
But except for one movie, which was Night of the Living Dead, where the black man dies first, and they think he's a zombie.
Right.
And then everything just looks like they are the Klan.
Right.
So the idea of Get Out, where it just flips that script on it.
Yeah.
And it's still horribly frightening, and the idea of, you know, there's a lot of underscoring of interracial couples, that deal with that, you know, a white woman will drive you crazy, a white man will drive you crazy, that kind of idea, living in an all Caucasian neighborhood, it will drive you crazy, they will come and get you, and it's the underbelly of that makes African, because, you know, this is the stuff that we talk about when white folks aren't around. Is like, y'all, this is how this works. So when you see it shed to light in a film, and it's well acted.
And it's funny. And all
and
that.
It's
it
funny,
all that
it's well acted. It's like, you know, I love the brother on the phone. It's like,
you got to get out of
here. Nigga, you got to get out of here.
So I watched the movie. Obviously, everybody loves it.
Oh, it's amazing.
Everybody loves it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it. I like Jordan Peele. I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to figure out because the issues in the film, like, I get it. I understand what those issues are.
Right.
I go to see the James Baldwin film, for example. I love James Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yes, the stuff he's talking about is absolutely true and absolutely real. But my theory is that even though I know all that stuff, I don't experience it every day.
This is me in Manchester by the Sea.
So
I know I can get it, but I don't experience any of what they're going through.
I think that's what it was for Get Out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know this stuff happens, but I don't feel it all the time. And if you are those people who were in the room with my friend and you see this movie, you're like, oh shit, I do this all the time.
And
but
this,
if you're a black person, you're like, this is the stuff that they don't get. And I'm like I'm just in that little middle zone where it wasn't a wake-up call, but I don't suffer it every day. Anyway, I just think, I missed
just
it.
Just
I got it intellectually, but not
emotionally. You know, and with any film, comedy film, you know, a film that's dramatic, you don't have to get it intellectually, but you can get it. And here's the thing. Just because you don't experience it doesn't mean you can't watch it from the other side. It's just, consider Get Out a friendly reminder.
And
consider Get Out a friendly reminder. Here, you don't live this, but a lot of people do.
A lot of people do it. And the part that I totally get is, for me personally, I'm not black,
mm-hmm.
but my name is Denzel, and I am this ethnically ambiguous thing that nobody ever
knows. You must. I'm about to say something really rude. You must tan well, boy.
I do tan.
Yeah, and I love.
I get ashy, you know, in the summertime, and you know.
I'm pointing to my elbows. Podcasts.
Yeah. So, but part that I get is, I don't know that I've experienced discrimination, but I am constantly aware of my ethnicity.
Yeah.
Because people bring it up. People ask. Because of my name, because of my skin, they can't tell, and they constantly say,
What
kind of dog is that?
What are you?
Which is a weird question, but my whole life, what are you? All the time. And so I'm always aware that I don't really fit in with the Puerto Ricans, the Mexicans, the black people, the white people. Like, I don't
know
how to try.
You are in a void. And here's
this. So that's what I get about this movie.
I had this conversation with about where do I fit with my own nieces and nephews. My sister Angel is married to a man named Scott Swanson, who is very Swedish. Their children are mixed children.
Yeah.
And you could literally pass for Nick and Nathan's father. Because you're both the same complexion.
Right.
And I had this conversation with Nick, who does improv. I'm so happy. I'm like, he got my improv gene.
Your nephew.
Yeah, good. They do this thing called Twimprov in Seattle. It drives my sister crazy, but I just love it. And he came to Los Angeles, and we went to El Cello, and I said to him, how are you feeling? I said, what are you officially going by?
Mm-hmm.
I said, what do you recognize as?
Yeah.
Because that's very important. He goes, I recognize as African American, but a lot of people think I'm Indian. A lot of people think I'm Mediterranean. I'm ambiguous. And he goes, but when people ask, I'm very proud to say that I'm African American because I'm more likely to get pulled over. with my skin complexion. And this is something Angel worries about on a constant. My sister Angel, and same with Scott, because we decided to love somebody who was not African American, and this is what we produced, and we want to make sure that they're safe and doubly safe. Because it seems to me, back in the 70s, 80s, it was just a ridiculousness that we just laughed off. Now it's an issue that people take very seriously. This is now, it's very strange. It's now a life or death when you're wishing Reagan was still around. I really miss him telling that ketchup is a vegetable. I really miss that part of it.
That was him.
That was Reagan.
But the last part I want to get into this kind of the conversation is you still have this group, We Be Negroes.
Yes, OUI, French. Funny when you say it, funny when you spell it.
Yeah.
We are all over the world at this point.
And you're working this angle, which is
all African American.
Race and ethnicity as something that we can joke and make.
Exactly. And now keep in mind, we were one of the first African American sketch comedy.
Yeah. Almost 20 years.
And you're talking about we started a real movement.
Yeah.
And to the point now where when we started We Be Negroes, there were not any African in Chicago. There were not really any African Americans. It was me, it was Frances Collier, and it was John Hildreth. Frances, who now does Frangella.
Right.
You need to get her on the show.
Okay.
Both of them, they're awesome. We were the only three who were doing improvisation in Chicago that were known being African American. Now I can walk into Second City in Chicago, and it is three-peat, and there are hundreds of African Americans who are doing improvisation.
Yeah.
That was one of the main reasons why I started We Be Negroes. One of the things I used to tell our company members was the object of We Be Negroes is to leave We Be Negroes.
Right.
And to keep doing this. And
to make it not so weird, we can't be the only ones.
Exactly. You go through Los Angeles.
Like Johnny Appleseed. You're trying to
plant
some
seeds. We're throwing seeds all over.
Open the door for other people to come in.
Exactly. So now you're seeing in Los Angeles, at least you got Essence Improv that I was a part of. That's all female African American. God, you got Phi Beta Negro, which is, you know, one of my favorite. When I thought We Be Negroes was a very raucous name, nothing compares to the Tuskegee experiment. When the Tuskegee experiment started, that was Marshall Givens and Tammy Smalls and all of them. I was just like, oh, damn, snap. That name beats We Be Negroes by a mile.
So what's the opportunity there? The idea is to push the envelope and to open...
To open more minorities up. So you're talking about when... I just had this conversation about Hawaii. Now I've become kind of a national focal point when it comes to minorities in improvisation. And the older I get, it's very funny. I get more questions like, well, how do you start than, hey, Sean, you want to play? I would love to get more, hey, Sean, you want to play? Than, hey, Sean, can you help me find black people?
At least they're asking.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm black. Ask me.
We're not 25. So
no, yeah, yeah. It's like things. You know, it's like now we got a whole different thing. Ageism. Yeah. Oh, just fucking great. But there's a
just when it became safe to be black.
It's too late. Now I feel like, you know, the Denzel Washington character in Fences. And now I've just come too late. But there's a woman in Hawaii. Who says, we don't have any people of color. And then I was like, well, I know there's African-American theater companies in Hawaii because I've been there. I know that there's Japanese. And she goes, no, I don't mean Japanese. I mean people who are Hawaiian. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, then girls, start one.
You got to start it up.
I'm like, you know, I said, you know, yeah. Action talks and bullshit walks. Yeah. You can, you know.
Start it up, get your elbows in get there, your elbows.
And she was like, well, the other theater companies need to have more people. I'm like, that's their thing. Right. You can put your information in, or if you want to be really proactive and you think that there's not enough people of color in the administrative side of theater, then what you need to do is you need to start up a little Facebook group, get all the of Hawaiian culture in that Facebook group, and then just start posting the shit out of links to submissions to be their artistic director and their managing director and all the rest. Because they don't know you're the fuck out there.
Well, you got to build a community
and then tell the community so they can en masse take their resumes and link, or send them your LinkedIn, like anyone uses LinkedIn, your LinkedIn thing. I use it too. How many jobs you get off of LinkedIn?
I don't know if any.
Exactly. But it's fun to be on. It's a joke.
You send somebody a message on LinkedIn, and then a month later they say, oh, dude, I just logged in
and
I finally read your message.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, why don't you go and just say some email messages? But yeah, you send that little link to those theater companies because she said to me, well, there were only two people of color who submitted. And I said, well, that's not the theater's problem.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
No, that's your community.
That's your community. People need to, if you know about it, you put in, why didn't you tell everybody else if this isn't really about just you? There's that point, too. I'm sitting here going, you know, you are a person of color. If you're not telling other POCs, then this is now all about you. Yeah. Bullshit walks, action talks. And I said, hey, I am part of on Facebook when it comes to this. There are actually Facebook private groups for African Americans that through Los Angeles, nationally, and also I'm part of three theaters for African Americans where we share links. Places like Goodman and Steppenwolf and, you know, other places like, you know, Henson has a diversity program. You need to put a puppet on your hand,
or your head, or whatever.
Yeah, on your head. You need to do what you need to do. Paramount is looking for, you know, the minority ABC, NBC diversity programs. Yeah. Y'all need to hop on this. There's LGBTQ private groups. Yeah. You need to hit this. You know, this is, and so that's you know, I'm not saying We Be Negro started, but you're talking about when you start something.
Yeah.
And it becomes successful. And I said this to her literally yesterday. I said, when you start something successful in the entertainment business, folks will come running to you.
People come to you.
People come to you because also money talks.
Well, now you're not asking for a handout. You're not saying, please hire me because blah, blah.
It's like, here we are.
I'm making some stuff. You want to talk to me. You know
where to find me. Here we are. You know where to find me. Here's my LinkedIn account. See how I brought that back.
Let's talk about something else.
Yes.
What do you got going on now? What's coming up for you?
Well, oh my
Let's
God.
Bring it into now.
Oh
bring
my God. Now. Oh my God. It's the promo time of the show.
Well, but, you know, got a movie coming out?
Yeah, well, the movie is out. It's called Open.
Yeah.
And it actually, it's an LGBTQ joint that is directed by Paul Hart and produced by Bruce Hart. And a lot of San Francisco folks are in it. Leon Acord is part of it. He was very big in the LGBTQ scene. Now he's here. He does this great web series called Old Dog, New Tricks.
Okay.
He's part of it. Dante the Comic. Rebecca is also there, too. Rebecca's in it. Actually, I play her love interest.
Okay.
So Rebecca Alcokin. Cochran? I don't want to mispronounce her name.
You already did, because you now pronounced it twice, so one of those is
one of those,
wrong.
Both of them are wrong.
Say it a third time.
So, Reba. So, but actually,
so what is this movie about?
It is, it's about 60 minutes. No, it's about...
Comedy, drama,
it's a
horror?
It's a comedy.
Okay.
And it's a comedy about open relationships. And it actually deals with two gay men who decide to open up their relationship after 10 years. And what they go through trying to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of LGBTQ movies deal with the idea of coming out,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is fantastic. A lot younger talking about coming out. This movie, they're already out.
Right.
They're already together. They're already married. So it's a real different take on a regular LGBTQ movie where... You're already comfortable in your own skin. Now you're exploring some other stuff. That's what really intrigues me about the movies that I've been in like S&M Sally, which I know. They're already comfortable being lesbian women.
Was that a funny movie?
It's extremely funny. It's
just checking because it's a funny title.
It's extraordinarily funny. Okay. I have been in Heterosexual Jill and S&M Sally.
Wait, I want to ask a question.
Yes.
Have you ever been in an open relationship? Ever?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody,
it never works.
People who are not in open relationships think that it must be fabulous because you have this primary partner and then you can go have sex with anybody you want. It's just not that easy. It's like half the sex and twice the process.
Exactly. I will actually let you, if you want to go and use a clip of what I do in open.
Okay.
Is exactly what you just said. Oh, you think it's little and it's online. You can use it.
Yeah.
More than happy to let you use it.
Yeah.
And Bruce B. Moore promotes the film and it's lovely. But it's a clip that literally I am talking about. Are you out of your fucking mind?
Why would you want to do?
Why am I? You know, it starts off like, oh, everything's great, everything's groovy, and then literally my character goes into this long skit about how she was in an open relationship and she ended up leaving for somebody else and then she had to move out because the lease was in her name. It's honestly, it was very funny. It's for me, Hans and I considered it because we've been together since 86.
Yeah, 20 years.
20 years, married in 91 on Valentine's Day. Ladies and gentlemen, please don't get married on Valentine's Day.
Too much pressure. Right?
No, too much money.
Too much money. Oh, yeah.
It's they gouge you for love on Valentine's Day.
I bet that.
Day.
Yeah, well, they gouge you for love even if you're not getting married.
I know,
like,
right?
If you want to go out to dinner on Valentine's Day,
it's
insane.
It's so fucking ridiculous. And you have to do it months in advance.
Yeah.
Because everything books in.
Yeah.
You know, to the point where I'm like, fuck this. I'm about to make some lobster and steak myself. Fuck this. That's why I'm such a good cook now.
Yeah.
Fucking getting married on Valentine's
Day.
we thought we were talking, Hans and I were talking about it. Uh-huh. And the first thing Hans said, because we're comedians, he goes, would anybody even want to do us? Just like, am I right?
See, well, you guys would be great candidates for
it.
We'd
be excellent candidates, but the thing is, the older
you
we
don't
got.
Have to, you don't, maybe you don't give a shit.
I don't give two fucks.
Yeah,
just as long as you come home to mama and you don't bring any diseases home, I'm good. But
so you might be in an open relationship right now and you don't even know.
I have no clue.
You don't even care.
I don't care.
So wait, let me just get this straight. So you guys talked about it. You were that would maybe be okay.
That'd be kind of funky and fun.
I don't know if we want to do it. It doesn't really matter. I don't care. And if it does
happen,
I don't want to know.
Whatever happens at an improv festival stays at an improv festival.
So you might be in an open relationship right now. You just don't know it.
I just, that's maybe, funny. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
But
who
if you
knows?
Are, it's working.
It's working great. There's also the other side of this, and this is where ageism comes in.
Yeah.
You know, on men doing this is wacky and fun. And, you know, I don't want to look like Cher.
I understand.
Do you know what I mean? The older you get, the more you start looking like some kind of crazy MILF, Cherish. You know, if I turn back time, I don't want to be that person. I want
to. That was good. You really got the.
If I can find a way.
Elvis, like a wall of water. Yeah, you know,
it's
like that.
It's
rolling in the back of the
mouth.
Take,
you take Elvis and you take it up 2 octaves.
Yeah.
You know, just put on one of those speedy, but you still got to slur it.
Tune it up.
You got to slur it. It's like you got your tongue all fucked up.
It's a little
up.
Bit true for guys, slur. Too,
now I'm starting to sound like Mom's Baby. Maybelline.
Mom's Baby. No, true. If I'm hanging out with a woman who's 25, I mean, mm-hmm. people, obviously, you know, they're like,
But the thing is, I always...
Not that that necessarily
I take it,
happens a lot, but...
But in... if
I'm a listening
I'm
audience
sorry.
At home, but it has happened.
Please, yeah. 25-year-olds, please apply. Really, make him look like the stray version of Stephen Fry.
Yeah, but you know what? For a 53-year-old guy, a 25-year-old woman is not...
It's,
like, that doesn't
yeah.
help
that's,
me, because we're just in such different places and
exactly.
emotionally,
I cannot imagine talking...
Points.
Well, it's already weird when you're the oldest person in the room yeah. When you're doing improv. And especially when you're teaching, and you get some very young kids like, oh, what was it like in the 80s? And the first thing I turn around and say...
Just punch him in the face.
No, yeah. I go, I'm like, you go, what was it like in the 80s? Well, first off, you weren't there.
It was good.
And it was great.
It was great.
It was great you weren't there. Yeah. This is the same thing when people, you know, try to be very nice and say, I don't look like I'm 52.
Yeah.
And it's like, especially young kids, like, you don't look like you're 52, you know, kind of almost hitting up on me. And I go, well, you know, I didn't have any kids. But I'm
well,
now...
Well, I kick your ass and you'll see.
Yeah. Well, also, it's just a really snarky thing. Somebody 21 who'll turn around and say, you don't look 52. And I say, you know why? I didn't have you. That's why I still look young. I didn't have you.
And I'm going to say one more thing on this topic.
Yes.
Actually, I have two things to say.
Yeah.
Sex with somebody half your age.
Oh, that's so unfun. That's so fast.
Isn't better. Oh. It's not better. They do not know what the hell they're
because
doing.
Because they're 22. You are a teacher all of a sudden.
You might be like, oh, man, this person is fresh and hot and trim and tight. And but you know what?
They're laying like a dead fish.
They don't know.
For a woman, they're laying like a dead fish. For a man... And then this is, for a man, it's just like, wow, that was fast.
Yeah.
And you want to do it 42 more times.
They don't know.
I'm exhausted. I would like to go and watch Seth Meyers. Please, please stop. I am now, you know, I'm now yeah. looking over your shoulder, you know, trying to go and see what's on Netflix.
And with a younger woman, you know, because I'm older, they expect me to do the work, you know, because now I'm... Like the host, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean? Like,
here's
guy,
my body. I am the host body.
You know, they're like, okay, you know, I'm letting you have your way with
there
me.
Is,
so they expect me to
if
do
I was,
more it, of the work, and they're not good
it,
at what they're
no,
supposed to
no. And then, if I was going to have an open relationship, please God, let it be with somebody my age and up.
That knows what's.
I want somebody to rock my world, and then we both cuddle and fall the fuck to sleep.
Yeah,
this is
once,
really
rock my world
this is,
one time.
It rocked my world one time, and then maybe in the morning rock it again.
Yeah.
And then we go about our merry business, and then we have a nice dinner with some wine. Then we snuggle, and, you know, we watch old episodes of, you know, A Bit of Fry and Laurie, and then we boink.
Or Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke. Oh, a Dick Van Dyke Show. All right. Version of you know, the episode where they're doing the twizzle. I really I want this. I am happy being old. I just did this. I do work at BuzzFeed every once in a while. I play Quinta Brunson's mom on Broke, and they have these surveys of, you know, what clothes make. How old are you if you go to Hot Topic? And Hot Topic is obviously a, you know, as though
clothing store.
A clothing store, yeah. And so it's like, you know, I did this test, and I picked out a John Lennon T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
A pair of blue jeans that had rips, you know,
yep.
the classic rips.
Yep.
A pair of flat blacks because I'm fucking 5'10 and I don't wear heels. I don't want to stand over my husband because he's 5'10. Like, I look like fucking Godzilla. So, yep. flat shoes, yep. as always, black, you know, kind of punky, kind of fun. And they told me I was 51 years old. And I was like, good. But the problem was this underneath it said, basically making fun of my age, what is a Hot Topic?
So wait, you pick the clothes and then they guess how old you are?
Yeah.
Based on your fashion?
My fashion says, and they pick 51. And I said, that's perfect, because I'm 51. But underneath it is like, what is a hot topic? How do you turn on the computer? And I'm sitting here going, you know what, fuck y'all.
Now you lost my business.
Us Generation X created the motherfucking internet. If it wasn't for our back-end encoding, you all motherfuckers would be screwed. Excuse me, I'm really angry right now. I'm a big fucking nerd. Are you messing with me? And I literally, poor Keith. Keith from the Try Guys, who I've known forever. He's an improviser also. I got a hold. I'm like, Keith. I literally tagged him on the page. Keith, what the fuck is this? Beat them around the head and neck.
Cut it out.
Cut this out.
All right, let me get to some other stuff.
Okay.
You and your husband, Hans.
Yes.
Have a group.
Yes. Actually, a two-person
improv sketch group.
Landry and
Summers. You had it for a long time.
When We Be Negroes started to go different places and, you know, we got older, Hans and I have been... I auditioned for Hans's improv company in 1986.
So he's been an improviser all this time.
Oh, he was an improviser way before I was an improviser. Okay. He was working with... God, people like Emo, you know, he was doing stand-up also, working with people like Emo. And
it's in Chicago?
We met in Chicago. Yeah. And it was very funny. I auditioned for him at the Players Workshop at the Second City.
Okay.
And I was doing drama therapy in prisons at that point. Mm-hmm. And I did not want to work in prisons anymore. I learned all my improvisation through Impro, through Keith Johnstone. And then when I got into... Chicago Second City, it was really all about Viola Spolin, and that's where Hans came from. So I come in with a very dramatic idea because I do dramatic improvisation.
Okay. As opposed to all comedy stuff.
Yeah, there's I do improvisation.
Yeah.
I think
that... This is my pet peeve, that people who don't know think that improv means comedy or that it's supposed to be funny all the time.
No.
Even a lot of performers, They mug. They make jokes.
They think improv is stand up.
That's not good improv.
I come from this place where I'm an actor who improvises. Yeah. I'm not an improviser who acts.
Okay.
It drives me crazy how Adele used to say it all the time too. You make yourself a poet first, artist, and if all else fails, be an improviser.
Yeah.
You do your craft first. And then you apply it. Improvisation is a skill that is part of theater. I'm a theater person who improvises.
It's a tool
like anything else. Yeah. It's like learning a Meisner technique or learning the trade of Stanislavski or Grotowski. It's the same kind of idea. So I auditioned for Hans, and they're very much improvisational comedy, and I'm great with that. And especially, they were doing short form.
Mm-hmm.
Pavlov's dog is the do run run for me. I can do run run all day long. A-E-I-O-U, Sean, you can do that to that song all day long.
Okay.
If you know that rhythm pattern, rhyming pattern, you're good. You can be on stage all day long and win.
Doing short
if you're doing like games. If you're doing games and short form games, everybody comes in. It's like, oh, you need to help the other team. I'm like, yes, that's absolutely true. But y'all, I'm here to win.
I like that kind of stuff, but short form games. Your brain to get you to do or say something stupid, and then the audience laughs because you're falling down. I don't really enjoy watching it. I don't enjoy doing it.
I do not. Well, with things like the Do Run Run, it does take skill.
Sure.
But no, the games you're talking about, like Mousetrap, head in a bucket.
Theater sports, like all that. Keith Johnstone, his book's fantastic. That thing that he created, which is the theater sports, gamey. Sure, I don't. That's not.
Here's the thing with theater sports comparatively. Well, theater sports compared to comedy sports is absolutely different. If you're looking at bats, or
maybe it's comedy sports.
It's comedy sports because bats and lats. Los Angeles theater sports.
Okay.
Dan O'Connor.
Okay.
Bay Area theater sports is Rebecca and Paul Killam and all those cats.
All those people.
And then Dan O'Connor was part of bats. And then he moved here and is now doing... And they have a space here where they're doing genre-based... That's theater sports.
That's great.
That's theater sports because right now they just got finished closing Aliza Pearl, who is in Essence also. She's doing. They just closed Star Trek, an improvised Star Trek, and now they're improvising just a million different formats.
They got all kinds of Star Trek,
noir, Mammoth. They did a Mammoth base. They do Shakespeare.
All kind of genres.
Genre based. So that's not short form.
No, that's
but their theater sports is more theatrically based. So they're doing more sports that are so you are doing a scene.
Yeah.
And whoever does the scene best.
Yeah, I don't like the short games that you just but the, are there but to fall down yeah, comedy, and be goofy. And,
yeah, comedy sports is, you know, you go out of the room, you got to guess, you know, who that person is. And you can make that scenic. For me, you know, my personal preference, I tend towards more theater genre, scenic-based improv. But I do not fault short form, because that does get your brain going.
Okay.
And it does make you think on your feet.
All right.
But the short form game, I don't care that you don't care. So
I don't fault them, but
I call them Pavlov's, you know, it's, you know, murder games.
Yeah.
The murder games where, you're blindfolded and then there's mouse traps on the floor and then you try to do a scene with mouse traps on the floor. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm all about keeping an actor safe on stage. Fuck you. Fuck those mouse traps. Y'all want to get hurt? You knock yourselves the fuck out.
Wait, I'm not familiar with that. So there are
mouse trap base. Yeah, there's
real mouse traps.
Real mouse traps.
And you have shoes on? You have no shoes?
No shoes on.
Aha!
And while
you're doing the scene, you're blindfolded. And is it a game or a scene?
It's basically, they put mouse traps on there. You put a blindfold on. They ask for a suggestion. You try to do a scene on the stage with mouse traps on the floor, blindfolded.
And if you step on one, you have to respond.
You have to justify why you're in pain.
Yeah.
This is the same thing with head in the bucket. Head in the bucket.
I might like the mousetrap one, but
yeah, head in the bucket is you get a bucket of water on stage, and people are named like 1, 2, and 3. You start a scene, and then someone will yell out 3. 3 has to go and put their head in the bucket
and justify.
And then when they come out, they have to justify why they're wet. Hans back in the day with this.
I don't think I would like that either.
No, but Hans wanted to do
this, and you just have to justify it. And I mean, you know, there is a skill there.
There's very much a skill, but the thing is,
it's not necessarily entertaining.
I did this game for kids. Love it. First off, children, you know, if you're doing a children's show, kids love it.
Sure.
I did head in the bucket. I'm like, I don't want to do this game. It was me, Sam Shaw from San Francisco. Yeah, it was Sam and me. And this other brother, we went and did this children's show, and they did head and bucket. I had my hair short, and I had just relaxed it. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. My head went in first. I put my head all the way in. I have relaxer in my hair. So
you didn't see your head move bobbing around?
No. There is relaxer in my hair. That's half lie. So I put my head in first. I get out. And, of course, now there's a bucket. Full of fucking water, half chemical, lime. Yeah. Sam puts his head in the bucket with his eyes open.
Well, you know, he wouldn't.
And his eyes were, all of our eyes were burning from my relaxer hair. And I finally said, next time we do a kids show, can we not do this game, especially if I have a fucking relaxer? And plus, also, it's painful and it's ridiculous. Hans, when we did it in the 90s, when we were doing short form, because we did half, you know, short form, then Harold and all the rest. The long and short of it. Unscripted does the long and short of it. So they start with short form games, and then from those short form games, they extend it out to an actual genre-based show, which is interesting. But, yeah, he wanted to do this bit. I'm like, oh, now you're putting bits in your short form. Put your head in the bucket. The bucket is rigged where there is a hose coming up through and out so you can breathe. The last scene, a person dies in the bucket.
That's good.
I think that's actually very funny.
Yeah.
It's just like, it just dies in the bucket.
So all through the show, people are using the bucket in a certain way, and then the last
exactly.
Thing,
last thing is...
that's good entertainment.
Yeah,
it's so like, it's not all improvised.
It's absolutely... It's kind of scary. But yeah, I tend much more Harold's deconstruction, genre based.
Yeah.
But for me, overall, and I've said it online, and I'll say it a million times, improv is improv is improv.
So what the hell does that mean?
Improv is improv is improv. whatever you're doing, if you are making it up on the fly and it's coming out artistically or creatively, whether it's short form, whether it's long form, whether it's mid form.
Doesn't matter for
me. It doesn't matter for me.
All right.
Let's play.
Let's play.
Let's play.
All right, well, I have some other questions.
Okay.
Here's a question I like to ask everybody. As a child, you had an imaginary friend.
It was a spy.
You had a spy?
I had a spy that I talked in a piece of paper on the stairs. And
you talked into a piece of paper?
Yeah, talked into a paper because on the other end of it, I pretended that it was like a head piece, like a FBI, CIA, you know, secret detective gadget kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So my secret person was a person that I tell secret, you know, special, you know, like, you know, be warned of the albatross, you know, and it, I would, you know, that was my friend. Or my, it was more like my spy friend.
Like,
it was like
roll it up in a
well, no, no, it was just like, you know, like
shoe phone.
No,
like,
no, no, it was almost like that. But yeah, basically, where I would talk into my hand, you know, and pretend like, you know, it's like be warned, mom's coming home in 15 minutes, and you're in trouble. You know, that kind of thing. So you talk into your hand, and it's like
single child,
like Roger
you're not
that
a single child.
It's like no, I had
you brothers
I had,
and sisters.
Oh God, yeah. I had they're all.
And so wait, so you're walking yeah, down the street, you're talking into
oh,
your
no,
wristwatch.
Oh no, no, just by myself. Yeah. Just okay. by myself. Yeah, this is something I don't tell people mostly,
yeah,
but yeah,
that's right. You can tell me.
Well, I'm telling everybody now.
Now you're telling
I'm
everybody.
Like, Sean's a fucking
and
freak.
So who's on the other end of that? Did
the
you
other
ever...
end was a kind of like spy detective. It
okay.
was like, you know, if something, if I was sad, is like, be warned, there's going to be meatloaf tonight. Roger that. Yeah,
meatloaf,
the other end would
the meatloaf
be
meatloaf is going on the floor.
Yeah, yeah. Roger that. Make sure it might be poison. Okay, Roger that. Don't eat it. Burp.
So the question, the full question is, as a child you had an imaginary friend.
Mm-hmm.
Your imaginary friend also had an imaginary friend.
My imaginary friend had a CIA. My imaginary friend did not have another imaginary friend. It just had a squad of CIA people.
No, I'm telling you, they did have another.
Yeah.
They had an imaginary friend.
Yeah.
You know, like, where are they? So, but they had a squad of people.
They had a squad of people with, in my mind, computers and you know, actually,
yeah.
because it was 79, you know, one of those larger standing...
Yeah.
Circular ones that had the old printers. You know, they were working for me.
So they had, like, Mission Impossible.
It was all MI.
Yeah.
It was completely
MI. You had
MI.
A contact?
Yeah, it was really, it was Yeah, I had a contact who made sure that the meatloaf was not poisoned. Ooh. Or, you know, lookouts to make sure that my mom was coming home at a certain particular amount of time to see if, you know, to make sure that Lisa was not, who, as my sister Lisa and I shared a room, you know, make sure that my posters were okay because my imaginary friends were weird, but my sister was like hardcore, like, woohoo! Like, she's not cool now. She wasn't cool then. So
had real imaginary. She had some. Serious
she had no. She friend. Had. She had some serious.
Some stuffs going on.
Some stuffs going on, and still has stuffs going on. So you know, just making sure my you know John Cassidy posters were still intact.
John Cassidy, I remember those posters. Any other stuff you knew about this imaginary person that was listening? I mean, male, female,
no,
age,
just,
anything?
You
don't
no,
know?
it was just an imaginary
the
person. It just
there.
Yeah, just a team of people. You know, mostly you know in nice suits
yeah.
and
yeah.
it really very Men in Blackish.
Okay,
I created Men in Black in my head
yeah.
way before Men in Black. So
I,
when
I,
Men in Black, I'm like, oh, there's my crew.
I like
realize.
The image of this like 10-year-old Sean with this, you know.
Also, I use also
FBI thing, guys in suits backing around.
And keep in mind, I was all about this spy detective stuff. So my big thing was get Christy Love. Do you remember?
I remember.
Yeah, get Christy.
Who played Christy Love?
She
was hot. I had a.
Well, get Christy Love was on television.
Yeah.
It was not Pam Grier.
No, it was not Pam Grier.
But I cannot remember her name. Oh, to the interwebs.
We're
going to
Google it right now.
Yeah, to the internet. But her big thing. I used to walk around.
Her.
I used to pretend I was people. So I used to go on the playground and pretend I was Christy Love.
Well,
you know, it's just like, you know, I'm gonna get you, sucker.
She was hot, man.
Yeah, I was just like, she was badass, and she was strong, and she could fight, and she was a detective, and
she was
a cop.
Private detective.
Yeah, private detective cop, and I'm just like, oh, I want to be Christy Love. So
here you go.
Yeah.
Teresa Graves.
Teresa Graves.
A beautiful
yeah.
detective, Teresa Graves, goes undercover to investigate a huge drug ring in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
It was on ABC
in
the
70s.
Right?
Yep.
1974.
Yep, 74. I was 9 years old.
Oh, they made a movie.
And they made
Get
a movie.
Christy Love
Full-length blaxploitation film.
Blaxploitation.
That was 1974.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, now I see why I had a crush on her.
She's hot as hell, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's
Whatever happened to her?
She was still acting, from what I understand.
Good.
Like most African-American females, you know, it's hard to find work.
Well, hell, man, she got this. I mean, you know, there weren't too many.
No, but back in the 70s, it was all, there were more African-Americans working in the 70s than there are, actually it's now getting better again, you know, with Awkward and everyone really pulling up, but back in the 70s, man, that's when, you're talking about 75, I was 10 years old, I was looking at Get Christy Love, I was looking at the Jeffersons, I was, you know, it was...
Good times. Like all those Norman Lear things.
Norman Lear was... the man that everybody wanted to work with. Then you get on Saturday Night Live, it's like, well, hell, Garrett Morris is sitting here. You know, it's, you're just...
He was good.
He was amazing.
He was good.
That man has an amazing voice, too.
He was good.
Operatic singer.
Let's talk about something else.
All right.
I believe that people have a superpower, which to me is some quality or energy or thing that just comes through you and you don't have to do it or work on it or develop it at all. It just wants to just come through you.
Right.
Do you know what that is for you?
My superpower is to make other people happy.
Make other people happy.
I think, or to bring other people together and make people happy. When I was younger, my two other sisters, my older sisters, used to fight all the time. And I was always that in-between person.
Are you the middle child?
Actually, I'm the youngest.
Okay, but still, you got the caretaker fixer role.
Yeah, I'm the fixer upper.
I get you.
So I think that's, you know, and then by the time I got into Geese Company, you know, the man who was the artistic director was so volatile, a genius but volatile. I was always that person to be the bridge gap between whatever was happening between X person and artistic director and fix that and make them happy. Always by laughing, always by saying it'll be okay.
That's a very clear archetype, you know, in a family that somebody learns how to keep it together because everyone else is freaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you take that out into the world.
Yeah, I take it out into the world. And, you know, when things happen with the San Francisco Improv Festival, don't worry, I got this. It'll be fine. It'll be good. Blah, 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 blah. Two of my friends run, the man who runs the Chicago Improv Festival, he just retired. And my friend who worked for WBZ, they had a little tiff for a moment. Last time I was in Chicago, I was like, we're all going to lunch. Yay, let's have fun. Had a lovely dinner, drank a lot, and they were like, well, we've always been friends. I'm like, you lying assholes.
But see, you did it, because after the thing, they realized whatever had been between them was not actually as big as they thought it was.
Seeing the pictures.
And they said, we've always been friends, and you reminded them that they had always been friends.
And a week ago, almost, I would say 4 days ago, there's nothing more happier in my mind than seeing Jonathan Pitts give Don Hall a Builder's Award for the Chicago Improv Festival. I wish Facebook could do other emojis outside of the love.
Right.
It'd be like standing ovation, you know, cat, I'm a kitty cat dance.
Something.
It's just something. Yeah. Just a full-on, just a million memes on that picture.
So the answer to this question, so your superpower is really a thing that it
togetherness.
Is like codependence. No, I mean, that's where it comes from. No, seriously, it comes from there.
Yeah, I guess.
That you learned how to do this thing because your family needed it.
From volatile situations it needs to have one person to not be volatile.
Yeah.
And I work in theater.
Right.
Come on. And comedy.
Yeah.
And entertainment.
No, it's a skill. You've taken this thing that started out as a compensatory kind of codependent thing for your family, but now you use your superpower for good.
Superpower for good.
Instead of using it for evil.
I mean, if I use it for evil, God, how would I use it for evil? Oh, basically being really cool to one person and then snarking on somebody else and then being really cool to that person and snarking. So I'm friends with everybody, but yeah. Making other people angry at each other, that would be evil.
That would be evil.
That would be evil.
You can also, yeah. No, there's other evil ways.
Oh, I can...
The codependence part, it could be controlling and manipulative, but you're not... You know,
I just...
You didn't go that way.
Life's too short, but yeah. Life... Life's too short, but
in all those comic book things, you know, you get a power or you realize you have a power.
You do realize I owned a comic book store, right?
I didn't know that. You own a comic book
store?
We
owned a comic book store.
Owned. Well, so anyway, you get it. Yeah. You have a choice. Mm-hmm. When you realize you have a power,
You
have a choice, you know, because it becomes conscious.
Exactly.
Whether you use it for good or evil.
And then, you know, if you're talking about a real comic book stand, and again, we owned Hepcat Comics from 87 to 89. The Watchmen. The Watchmen. If you're talking about, are you born with the power, like
Ozymand?
Yeah, like Dr. Manhattan, okay. Or from Watchmen, or Superman.
Sure.
Or do you lay that power on you, like Batman,
or even the Green Lantern?
It was bestowed
upon him.
Anyone can be Green Lantern.
Yeah.
You know, it's like as long as you have the ring, anyone can be Green Lantern.
He's not special.
No, he's not special. Oh. It's like, any brother can be Green Lantern.
Batman is more, at least that guy worked his ass off to be
Batman. Batman's balls. Yeah, I'm like, I'm sorry, Batman is balls. Because Batman.
Wait, is that good or bad?
Man, it's balls. He's doing good, but he's still balls.
All right.
He lost his whole goddamn family and was.
Sure.
Raised by a butler. Man is bald.
That's not his fault.
That's not his fault, but somehow his butler... I blame Alfred. Because Let's get down to it. Alfred made that man all fucking gadgets down in his basement. You know, he's just like making, you know, gadgets and... That's some crazy-ass shit.
And he let him stew and get resentful and vigilante.
Yeah.
See, I think you're right. Now, I never thought about this. Alfred should have scheduled more play dates with kids. For Bruce Wayne, and we wouldn't Batman.
Thank you. You know,
he would have grown up in a more
stable environment. You know,
normal environment.
You know, there would be no fucking Batcave. There would be none of that shit. But the, you know, but the thing is, the Joker would still be there. So who would take care of the Joker? So
now you're making sense, and we're talking comic books.
I know we're talking, and we're talking DC, not Marvel. So keep going.
You have a somewhat quirky sleeping or bedtime ritual.
No.
What is it?
No, I go to sleep.
Come on.
Okay. Let me.
I don't know. Maybe the answer
It's fine. Honestly, I cannot think of anything quirky. I take a shower. I braid my hair. Like most black folks do.
That would be wild at my house, but not,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
not
basically,
at your house.
For all purposes, because I'm African American and because my natural hair is, you know, now gray, comes down about to my shoulders, but it's also a big ass afro because I don't relax it anymore. So I guess the ritual is unbraid it, afro sheen it, braid it back up, put a do-rag on top of it, take off my clothes, check my last email one more time. Have sex with my husband, go to sleep.
All right, there's nothing quirky about
that's
that.
Really, it's honestly,
that's
I
right.
have nothing quirky. I mean,
that's
it's like
fine,
I,
no
like
problem.
I sing Ave Maria before I go to bed.
You know,
Ave Maria.
The question works like 60-70% of the time.
Yeah.
And for the people that have something,
I gotta know what are they?
They say, "How did you know?"
What? Dun 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 dun.
People have little things.
That's so weird. I go the fuck to sleep.
People can't sleep. You know what I mean? They have people can't sleep. They have ritual things. Some, you know, they got to do. Stuff
I have
with their
ritual
sheet.
Things
I
before
know.
I go on stage, but not before I go to sleep.
Oh, we don't care about those.
Yeah, see, right?
We don't care about those.
Yeah, right.
Now, you have been listening to the show.
Yes, I have.
You have.
I actually went through everything.
Good.
When you got a hold of me, I'm like, no, I need to listen.
You didn't listen to 48 episodes.
I listened to roughly about 20.
Wow. All right.
I do my research.
Listen to more shows than my mom has.
Wow, your mom sucks.
Yeah, my mom does suck. So, you know, I have this thing about being hit in the face with a pie.
Mm. Not at all.
You didn't hear about that? Come on. If you listened to the show, maybe you fell asleep before the
end. I did. You have a thing. So what about it?
Maybe you had the show on while you were doing
something
else.
I have no...
You were not really paying attention.
Oh, keep going. Jesus. What about the pie thing?
I'm just going to delay. So about 20 years ago,
yeah,
I was saying, how can I make a real contribution to make the world a better place? Mm-hmm. New Year's resolutions are dumb because
people give
them up right away. And if you want to do something good, do it now. Don't wait till New Year.
Just fucking lose the weight now.
So I got this message. I was at home in Oakland from someplace that said, if you really want to help the world, you can give friends and family permission to hit you in the face with a pie or squirt seltzer at any time. Mm-hmm. And so over the past 20 years, it's happened like 50 times that people who know me will surprise me and hit me in the face with a pie. Now, what's good is that usually when you throw a pie, it's with some malice. It's not a, but in this case, I want people to throw it with love, and I'm going to receive it with love, and it's going to be all good. And
right.
People love it, and that's what. So here's my question about this.
Well, I hit you in the face with a pie.
You can hit me in the face with a pie, but the question is, you're going to do this. You're going to give permission for some other person to hit you in the face with a pie, and I'm going to say you can pick and who that person is going to be, anybody living, dead, imaginary, real. If you could be hit in the face with a loving pie by anybody, who would you want that person to be?
My husband.
Yes, and what would that... He's never hit you in the face with a pie. Haven't
no,
you guys
actually,
done enough
wait,
stuff
no, that's,
together?
And here's the
you
thing.
You guys have done, oh, you've been married
and
20
here's the
years,
thing.
You're on stage all the time.
We have directed pie fights at bats for day trippers.
Yes.
I did a whole show with pies.
So how this is, you're going to get hit in the face with a pie by your husband.
I have been hit in the face with pie by several people.
How is this going to be new for you and him together?
Because he has never hit me in the face with a pie. That's why it's new.
And what would you imagine? How would that be for you?
I think it would be lovely. I think it would be one of those kind of things where Hans will... No, this is... I can literally imagine this. Hans goes, hey, baby, I got a pie. And I go, hey, baby, will you hit me in the face with a pie? And he goes, no, I can't hit you in the face with a pie. I go, okay. Then he turns around, and I turn around, and it's already there. So
you're enjoying it.
I would, and here's the thing: it has to be an apple pie.
And what is it? Whipped cream or no whipped cream?
Whipped cream apple pie. You know why?
Tell me.
Because it's delicious. Hashtag pie needs. I am a massive pie fan. Apple pie. Hashtag pie needs. I want to be hit with the most delicious pie.
So you're a big
and
pie
that's
fan.
Love and that's love.
You're a big pie fan.
I'm a massive pie over cake.
Okay,
a million times.
Yeah. And you have been hit in the face with a pie.
I have been hit in the face with a theatrical pie.
A theatrical pie. And how is a theatrical pie? Is it
a theatrical? It's theatrical. Cream? Is shaving cream.
Shaving cream or just pie with no alleged whipped cream. With
just
no,
whipped cream. But the thing is with whipped cream, because I do physical comedy, with whipped cream it has sugar in it, and sugar will burn your eyes.
Yeah.
So you want to do shaving cream, because shaving cream is for your face.
Absolutely.
So if you're doing it stage-wise, if they love you, it's going to be a tinful of shaving cream. Where you can also dye for theater pies.
Yeah.
And you're doing pie fights, you take shaving cream and you go and do a food coloring either underneath it, so it looks like yellow food coloring underneath
it. It looks like the tint, like the
so it looks like crust. It's a lemon meringue pie.
I see.
So you put shaving cream, dye that yellow, shaving cream on top, so it looks like a meringue.
Oh, see, I never knew that. Now we're getting some new pie technology tips.
Theater pie technology.
Theater pie technology tips.
And that's the same thing. You can dye a blueberry pie.
Okay.
Three Stooges.
See,
me
now
too.
I know that thing you mentioned earlier, you know, like, I'm bi, but I think mostly like a guy.
Mm-hmm.
You like the Three Stooges.
I like the Three Stooges.
There's such a gender divide in the Three Stooges thing. I do not know why women...
I don't understand
either.
They're
like, why is he hitting him with a wrench? I'm like, dude, what kind of question is that?
Because it's funny. I'm the only woman I know who likes the Three Stooges, and I am convinced to this day this is why I'm married and I get laid. I'm not a good-looking woman. I'm not a thin woman. But God damn it, I like the
Three Stooges.
Yeah.
Mo Howard was an expert pie thrower.
Yes,
he was. How does one become, or what is there some
skill? It's pretty much the same. The way he figured with pie throwing.
Yeah.
He would take the pie.
Yeah.
And then he basically aim it pretty much. I mean, it was almost like sharpshooting for him. So it's just the aim and the projecting. It's almost the same way, you know how there are expert pool players?
Where you throw hatchets, or
you know the trajectory of a 10 with the amount of fluid inside of it. He would literally stand off on Three Stooges. He would stand off on the side, and they would try to get other people to throw it, technicians, and they couldn't do it. Mo would just go, this is how you do it, and he'd throw pies from off camera.
Now, I noticed when you did it, your hand was totally horizontal.
Horizontal.
With your elbow pointed forward. And that I can imagine if you throw it like that, because most people,
most people do it and then, go down.
You point the pie at somebody and your elbow is back. Like that's, like you're shoving it in their face. But you're talking about
long distance throwing.
It looks like a catapult, actually. It's a
catapult thing. And also, if you're practicing throwing pies from a distance, you want to hold your... I'm doing this right now with my hand.
We're going to
right hand, left hand underneath your elbow.
Yeah.
And then projectile like
that. So now what you're doing is a thing that...
all depending on how close they are. That's for long distance throwing.
I see. No, I think that's good. Do it one more. Let me see the setup one more time.
Right here.
So you don't move the top part of your arm at all.
No, because the weight is up here. If you move it around, first off, pie is going to go all over the place. Yeah. You want to go and literally project. It's a catapult.
No, and I've noticed in some of those scenes with the big pie, like the one where they play the exterminators, which is one of the famous ones. Those pies are gone. They're coming from far away because the camera is kind of pulled back.
And the person throwing them is Mo Howard.
That was Mo. I'm gonna check this out. There's a skill. There's a technique. How to get a pie to travel some distance and still hit someone in the face.
You can actually Google this because this is for
out of town.
Because I do physical comedy first off, and also I do comedia. So comedia is pretty much the offset of where all the pie throwing and all the rest comes from. So that's actually a skill. You Google how to throw a comedy pie.
My good Three Stooges story, I had this friend, a woman. She was also from Spain, so it might have been even more difficult
from
her.
Yes.
She recommended a car mechanic to me because I needed a car mechanic in San Francisco.
Right.
And she said, go to this guy, Jay. He's this Japanese guy. He's super, super nice, but I'm just going to tell you now, he's dead serious. She said, I have not been able to, even get a smile, or I'm kind of trying to charm him a little to be, friendly.
Right.
He's just straight ahead, all business, but don't take that the wrong way. He's a great mechanic and a nice guy.
Right.
I said, okay. So I go to Jay, and I drop my car off, and he says, come into the office, and I'll set you up. And while he's on the computer, I notice behind him, there's a Three Stooges calendar on the wall.
Nice.
And he is. He's really totally straight up and down. And I say about the Three Stooges, and he cracks open like the Red Sea with Moses. He gets this big smile. We start laughing and talking about things that we remember that we loved. Half an hour later, I leave, and I go and say to her, and she says, how is Jay? I said, that guy is hilarious. She could not believe it.
I don't understand how you broke him over.
She just walked up to him. She didn't know what the Three Stooges were, so she couldn't. She was like, what did you say? I said, I just pushed this button. It was right behind him.
Okay.
I like to anagram things. You may have also heard that. Brand, does that ring a bell? The pie thing didn't ring a bell. You listened to 20 shows. Do you know about the anagram?
Yes, I do. But you like the anagram, and now you want me to try to do that for you?
No, I've already done it.
Okay, let me see. You did my name?
I'm not going to ask you to anagram, on the fly.
John Landry?
Unless you're...
All right, do the anagram for me.
So here's...
Explain it just in case they haven't listened
people
to 20
know
shows.
What anagrams are.
Yes.
Anagrams are where you take the letters of something and then you just rearrange them. And it gets to be something else. So,
because Evian spelled backwards is naive.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the question is, some of these anagrams, sometimes something opens up and we have a new perspective on things. So that's the question. Some of these ring a bell, great. If they don't ring a bell. So, for example, I anagrammed Sean and Hans.
Oh, okay.
A-N-D, because I know when you do Landry and Summers, there's an ampersand. But I just wrote out and, Sean and Hans. And the most interesting thing I got is a nun has hands.
Well, yeah, they have to go and beat the living shit out of you when they're angry at you.
So that's true.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if you personally relate to that.
No, not at all, because neither of us are religious.
Either one of you like to dress up as a nun sometimes?
No, but I like the show Nonsense, because it makes fun of nuns.
All right. So that one, no. True, but didn't...
I'd never would want to play a nun like Whoopi Goldberg.
Didn't take us somewhere.
No, didn't jive.
Well, here's another one. I also anagrammed We Be Negroes.
Okay.
And like you said, we is O-U-I.
French.
You know. So, here, let's... here, you can read them.
All right, let me go and see.
See if any of them, like, you know, ring a bell. That's the one.
Rogue Ebony's. We are the Rogue Ebony's.
Right, that one makes
sense. That's like African American punk rock improv ensemble.
We Be Negroes, Rogue Ebony's. Yeah. That makes sense.
Bruise one ego.
You're trying to bruise.
Yeah, bruise someone. One. But no, Rogue Ebony's is the one that stands out with me the most.
What's that first one? Onerous Beige.
Onerous Beige. Nah.
Anyway, I just thought that was...
I'd be erogenous. No, the closest erogenous person in We Be Negroes would be me, because I'm bi, and I'm everyone else who has ever been in the company. No.
There are some boring bi people. Trust me, some boring bi people that can't get down.
And Dante Richardson, God rest his soul, was Miss Thing. He was Super Miss Thing.
Don't be profiling that all bi people are good in bed or very over-sexualized. Some of them are boring
at this point, everyone's afraid to even say the B. Everyone now is gender fluid.
What's B, bi? Oh, yeah.
Everyone's gender fluid, which sounds like something you put in your fucking car.
Binary.
You're like, I don't know what I am. Let me go and buy a gallon of gender fluid.
I'm down on gender fluid.
Yeah, that's right. I'm low. My dipstick and my gender fluid is low.
Yeah, my gender fluid is doing.
Just like,
no, we're gonna that you can make something out of that.
Yeah.
The dipstick and the gender fluid.
Yeah,
you have to check somebody else's gender
fluid. Yeah, let me check your distance, darling.
Let me check your gender
fluid. All right. He's like, would you like some of this gender fluid?
we got some more here because you know. Now here's one that is just your name. Sean
Noss.
Landry.
Okay. I've gotten Noss
here's what it
before
is.
Sean Dry Anal. Well, I agree with that, but
like,
that's really disgusting.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
But I guess if you're doing anal, yeah, you definitely
dry need, anal is bad.
Yeah.
So you should
You think? It's horrible.
Take it.
You definitely need lube for that.
Recommendation.
But
Landry and Summers
underlay
Mr. and Mrs.
That makes sense.
It made sense. People see your show, they may not know you're married. You know, underneath all this stuff that you guys are doing, you're Mr. and Mrs.
I like Landry and Summer, Slanders and Rummy.
Slanders and Rummy.
Honda Slander, I'm nothing but a Rummy. I like my grapes.
Now I'm getting it wrong. Landry and Summers, and what is it?
Slanders and Rummy.
I liked that. So that's a good one. Runs My Dreamlands for the two of you together.
Yeah.
But then for We Be Negroes, Rogue Ebony's.
Oh, Rogue Ebony's. Right. Rogue. Yeah. Oh, da 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 da. I just hear punk rock right underneath that. Da da da. I totally hear Dead Kennedys. I hear Fugazi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hear Terminal Preppy
Fugazi
underneath this.
Yeah. All right, well, we're out of time. We should close the show.
Oh, okay. Sure.
I would like to thank my very special guest, writer, director, actor, funny lady with some attitude sometimes.
Yeah, a little sassy.
Mostly.
A touch.
Sean Landry.
It was lovely to be here. Thank you.
LaChandra Laundry.
LaChandra Laundry, please. Mr. LaChandra Laundry. Please send me that check
there
just
you
like
go.
That.
Yeah. If you would like to buy a Comedy Death Star coffee mug, that's what you're using right there. You can email me at comedydeathstar@acsdigital.tv. No one has purchased one, by the way.
Oh, no.
Now, they are about $20 because you got to get them custom printed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I keep saying I'm going to put an image of it on the site so people can see it. I haven't done that. Maybe that would help.
Do that and then set up a cart.
A cart. Yes. A cart. Okay.
Yeah.
Dylan Vigil, he's the guy who's going to do the cart thing because he is my producer, engineer, and he does computer stuff around here, but he's the guy to do this.
Nice.
Dylan Vigil is our producer and engineer. Our theme music was written and performed by Dean Mermel. You've been listening to Comedy Death Star, the official podcast of Actors Comedy Studio right here in Hollywood, USA. I'm your host, Denzel Myers. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Sean, thank you.
Thank you. And remember, when at Universal, ask for Babs.